The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Can we declare the word of understanding as we begin to study? One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is giving me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. That's your portion again today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As the word is coming forth, healing has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Transformation, you are becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The temper that was disturbing you is going in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That impulsiveness. Some people, you give them, we know there are some stupid statements people make. Say, money no, they stay for hand. That's a negative confession. Your own money will stay in your hand.
Amen.
You will have self-control.
Amen.
There are people you can't give money. Say, please, let me give this person. No, go completely reach there. It's Satan. What did I call it?
Satan.
Satan. There are people you give money. Say, okay, let me hold this 5,000 naira. When the Kemote comes, give him 4,000. Give Felix 1,000. Tell them I said this. It no go complete. Well, they say, you know money doesn't not stay for hand. And people say it as if it's a truism. It's life. Somebody is owing you money. Say, please collect it today. You know, say, money not they stay for hand. That will not be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will control your spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what the Bible means. All right? Better is the one that can control his spirit than the one that takes his city. A man can rule his spirit. What does it mean? Yes, this is what I want to eat, but I can't afford it, so I'm not eating. There are people who are going there. They are going to eat cold stone. And their life is just freezing away. Destiny is freezing because of ice cream. It's not the ice cream. It's the lack of self-control.
Yeah.
They sell you in a cup, your 1 week salary, and you collect it and eat it, and you think you will go for your life. People don't go far like that. You know, especially when one stupid small girl you are trying to pursue, you are trying to impress, is there with you. They take your 1 week salary, put it in 2 cups of ice cream. And they gave it to you, and you eat it. And you are wondering where your destiny is going. Tomorrow they say, war against destiny destroyer. Yeah, your own destiny destroyer. You don't know. They say, war against destiny destroyers. Yeah, your own destiny destroyer. Look, let me pray for you. Self-control is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, self-control is your portion. It's your portion. As the word is coming, it's making you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's making you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's making you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You can control your appetites. You can control your desires.
Amen.
You know how to wait. Yeah, ability to wait. That is coming to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are not impulsive. Many people are impulsive. You know, the Bible says that for a soul to be, he that hastens with his feet errs. For a soul to be without knowledge is not good. What does it mean? For people to just be impulsive without having enough understanding. Just one business. This guy, after he started this business, he bought a car in 6 months. Then go and borrow money and start a business you don't even understand. Why? Because one man who you don't know what he does bought a car in 6 months. That's lack of self-control. As the word is coming forth, it's bringing self-control to you in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not jump because somebody else is going in one direction. You'll follow in that direction. No, you will follow what God wants for your own life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Understanding is coming to you again today.
Amen.
The word will give you clarity. You know,
Amen.
We keep on saying you will not be confused.
Amen.
No, you will not be confused. It's making you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed.
Amen.
Don't sit down. Please open your Bible to the book of Psalms 37. Just quickly, let's read that one together. And when we finish reading it, you can sit down then. Please, everybody, let's read the word of God together. Self-control, your desire to sit down. Psalm 37. It has quite a number of verses. 40 verses precisely. I know what we're going to do. So as not to waste time, we'll read all of it. The Lord is good. Now let's do it like this. I will read verse 1, you read verse 2, in whichever version you have, and then we'll read verse 40 together. Occasionally we'll repeat one or the other. Now verse 1, it said, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers." Verse 2, "They will quickly wither like the grass and fade like the green herb." Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it." 6, "He will bring forth your righteousness as a light and your judgment as a noonday." Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." I'm reading that again. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes." 8, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land." 10, "Yes, a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and will not be there." Verse 11, "But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. He will plot against the righteous, and gnashes him at his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, that is the wicked, for he sees his day coming. The wicked has drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. This is the word of the Lord. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken." Verse 16, "Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked." Verse 17 says, "For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous." 18, "The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever." Verse 19 says, "They will not be ashamed in the time of evil," that is the blameless, "and in the days of famine, they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away." Verse 21 says, "The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives." 22, "For those blessed by him will inherit the land, and those cursed by him will be cut off." Now, please, we'll continue in a moment, but I just want us to note these things as we are going on. He's giving certain crucial instructions here. Follow it as we are going. One, he said, "Don't disturb yourself because of those who are doing wrong and prospering apparently because of that." And he gives it their end. He said, "They will quickly wither like the grass." God, anytime he says, "Don't do this," look around. There is something else he's telling you to do. Always. Always, 100% of the times, if God says, "Don't do this," he will tell you what to do. And without doing what he says, you end up doing what he says you should not do. That's the way life is. You know, you have to be busy doing something. There's always, even when we say waiting for the Lord is that you are doing something. That's just the way it is. It's what you are doing that is the issue now. Now, so when he says, "Don't fret," he's saying you must be busy trusting. And how do you trust? All right. You will see, you are dwelling in the land and cultivating something. You are cultivating faithfulness. A sign that you are trusting is that you are doing something in a particular way. Trust is not just, "I'm sitting there, I'm doing nothing." It's that, no, the work I'm giving, how do I know that I'm trusting God? I walk, even though my boss is not watching, I walk like the Lord is watching. That's a sign of faith. That is a sign of faith. You cannot be working for government, all right? You don't do your work, so you are believing God for prosperity. You are lying about it. You are lying about it. That you are believing God is shown by, all right, yes, I will do my things. I will not ask anybody for gratification. Are you getting my point? Nobody is coming. It's not my personal client. It's the client of the office. So it's not going to pay me anything. It's called cultivating faithfulness. You must be busy doing that. Otherwise, what you are doing is that you are walking the way of evil people. Trusting in the Lord. So God says that we've read this, I just wanted to revise it a bit, so as we continue reading, bear those things in mind. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So we see that is a process of waiting patiently. Waiting doesn't mean I'm sleeping at home doing nothing. It means what I have been given to do, I am doing it and cycling it again and again and doing it better each time without trying to get away from that position. That's what it means to wait patiently for the Lord. He said, do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways and all of that. Don't let anger pursue you. Don't let forsake wrath. Don't let those things only lead to evil doing. He's been telling us. He said, but if you do all of these things as a humble, he said, what will happen is that you will inherit the land. That's what they call humility also. Verse 9 says, those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Verse 11 says, the humble will inherit the land and they will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. It will come. He said, but those who are wicked, who are going the opposite way, they will be plotting because Daniel in Babylon, you see the way it was. Daniel, his brothers, all of them were doing right. People plotted against them. He said, but this is the word of the Lord against those who are plotting against such people. They may have drawn their sword. They may have bent their bow. The Bible says that their intention is to cast down the afflicted and the needy against the people who are walking in uprightness. He said, but this is God's word. Verse 15, their sword will enter into their own hearts. And their bows will be broken. Everything they plotted against the man who is walking in uprightness, it will come against them. And the story is simple. You can see that in the life of Daniel. Everything they plotted against Daniel, it happened to them. They threw Daniel into the lion's den, nothing happened. They threw them into the lion's den, something happened. Are you getting my point? What they intended for Daniel was what came upon them. That, again, is a fulfillment of the word of God. I want us to understand something. If you want to know what life will be like, read the scriptures. Everything has been prophesied. The Bible says there is sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. In Christianity, sufferings always come first, then glories follow. And God doesn't bless people in a hurry. He doesn't do that. He anoints David, and David starts running around for the next 13 years before he becomes king in Israel. That's just the way it works. God doesn't bless people in a hurry. Somebody says that, give us a special seed, tomorrow your life won't be the same again. You want to be deceived. Are you getting my point? You want to be deceived. He said, but the widow of Zarephath gave one offering. Listen, she did not get abundant breakthrough. She just managed throughout the famine. That's all that happened to her. Are you getting my point? God will sustain you in the time of affliction. But when we're talking about abundant prosperity, it takes time. The Lord builds it gradually and he expects people to learn to what? To wait. Everybody must learn to wait. That's the way. So I just want us to understand these things as we are reading it on. Now let's get down. And that says, I won't say that, discuss that in details, but the wicked, they have their own outcome. All of these things have been prophesied. And anytime you read the scriptures, bear it in mind. This is not just poetry. This is not just history. This is a prophecy concerning what is going on today. Do you get my point? That is, life has been mapped out. You just choose your own portion. If you want to go like the wicked, you know where you are going. But if you follow the way of humility, the way of patience, the way of righteousness, you are cultivating faithfulness, the Bible has also prophesied, as we can see here, where your life will end. All right? So that's what I'll be reading. Let's continue reading. Now I'm going to read verse 23, right? And then we'll continue. It says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Verse 24. When he falls, he will not be held headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Now, that means that sometimes the man will stumble, it will appear as he's falling. It's not a big deal. The Lord is holding his hand and he will raise him up again. David said, I have been young, now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. 26. All day long, he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. That's true. Verse 27 says, depart from evil. Now, because you know this, that's what he said. We know the outcome of doing evil. And we know the outcome eventually of walking in righteousness. So he says in verse 27, depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. Verse 28, the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever and the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. Let's read 28 again. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever. For the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. I like that. The Lord loves justice. The Lord loves what?
Justice.
He said he does not forsake his godly ones. You will never be forsaken in the name of Jesus. Amen. That is a matter of fact. Listen, in life, I said something on Saturday as we were closing. I said, this life is about enjoyment. What do I call it?
Enjoyment.
It's about enjoyment. Life is about enjoyment. It's what you enjoy that's not the difference. Some people think enjoyment is to sit down at the beer parlor after Asher will sit near them, and they'll be talking nonsense after they have drunk, and then they will now be discussing Ronaldo and Messi, and then they will be laughing. They call it enjoyment. The Bible calls it foolishness. Are you getting my point?
Yeah,
the Bible calls it foolishness. What am I trying to say? Locate what is right and enjoy doing it. Make it, you know, just enjoy doing what is right. You know what the advantage of that? The day God will pour abundant blessing on you, you won't even, that is, they'll say, oh, you waited for Isaac for 25 years, yeah? 25 years? Isaac, it took you so long to come. You wouldn't realize it because you were busy doing something. You're enjoying your life, you're enjoying, are you getting my point? Some people say, oh, this country is bad. It makes me laugh. Look, yesterday now, how many people have died now? 22, right? In London. And they are not fully died. They have not finished dying yet. Some are still. No, that's not supposed to be a joke. They are still in hospital. Usually when you carry 50 people to hospital, 2, 3, 4 will join those who have died already. So last time I read the news, there were 22 people. By this evening, there may be 23. I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that there is trouble everywhere. They said there's an average of one mass shooting every day in the United States. Average, daily. This was BBC report. On the average, there is one mass shooting a day in the United States. It's so common that it doesn't make the news. So if one white man takes a gun and shoots like 5 people, nobody reports it if they're all white. No. They only report it if they're all black and it's a white man. Or if it's a black man and he shoots white people. Or if it's a Muslim and he shoots Americans. That's when it makes the news. But if one man shot, like one black man in Michigan shoots 5 black men, it won't hit the news. Come on, now you'd be the first to kill 5 people. Yesterday, your mate killed 7. You know? It doesn't make the news. I'm going to say that there's trouble everywhere. There's trouble everywhere. So it was, look, just sometimes the fun is knowing how to, you know, survive the trouble. Are you getting my point? Sometimes if you tell a story, say, oh boy, there was a time I survived 1 month on 1.5. Say, what? Yes, 1.5. I go buy plenty beans. See the way you're laughing. Are you getting my point? That is a fun in it. That's the fun in it. You know, you see people sit down abroad, they see that everything is quiet, everything is peaceful. Then they leave everything and come to Kenya to come and shoot lion. What does that tell you? All the quietness is now tiring. Meanwhile, the Maasai who's there doesn't understand what is exciting about shooting a lion. You're getting my point? In life, just make up your mind you want to enjoy yourself. No, are you getting my point?
Yes.
Make up your mind you want to enjoy yourself. One day trek to work. Just trek 5 kilometers. Leave your house by 6:30. Why are you trekking? Say, I'm broke. When you get there, you say, ah, now, wow, man, I trek. If they told me I could trek, I wouldn't have believed it. Then you laugh it over. But some people will sit down there and just be minding, what is wrong with me? My mates are not trekking. My mates are being carried by drones. Are you getting my You know, just create problems out of nothing. There is no problem. You know, sometimes we just get up and create problems. What I'm trying to say, in life, just make up your mind, you will be happy.
Amen.
Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Make up your mind, you will be happy. It's a decision you make. Do you follow my point? That's why it is possible to dwell in the land, cultivate fruitfulness, and be enjoying it. Let's continue reading. What I'm saying is that, look, create habits, a good habit. Cultivate the habit of enjoying justice, of enjoying righteousness. Don't let the fact that I don't have money today disturb you at all. Alright? Which verse were we in? Yeah, we're reading that 28 again and again. So the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. You are preserved forever.
Amen.
You are one of his godly ones.
Yes.
Say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm one of his godly ones. And
I am preserved forever.
My descendants will not be cut off.
I will inherit the land
and dwell in it forever.
I
just read verse 9, but let me just read it so you can read 30. It said, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Verse 30. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. Listen, last time we said something. You do have an opinion. Amen?
Amen.
If you have an opinion here, shout amen. Good, I'm happy. Nobody has an opinion. We don't have an opinion. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Bible says the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom. That's the word of God. That's all we utter. We don't have our own opinion. We don't have our own opinion. It's people like that that inherit the land. His tongue speaks justice. We don't have our own opinion. The Bible says in verse 31, let me read that. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. Don't read 32 yet. I just want to emphasize something here. You notice that the law of your God is in your heart. For that reason, your step will not slip.
Amen.
You didn't say amen like you heard me.
Amen.
Your mouth will utter wisdom.
Amen.
And your tongue will speak justice.
Amen.
For that reason, you will inherit the land.
Amen.
And you will dwell in it forever.
Amen.
What's the portion of the wicked? Verse 32, read it please. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. Verse 33 says, the Lord will not leave him in his hand.
Amen.
Or let him be condemned when he's judged. Listen,
Amen.
The Lord will not leave you in the hand of the wicked.
Amen.
He will not leave you in the devil's hands.
Amen.
And you will not be condemned in the day of judgment.
Amen.
Verse 34, read it together.
Wait
for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. You know, I tell people, I've been saying it for a long time. They say, you know, there are different ways God does things. So, when they say you will live in houses you not build, there are many ways. A man will steal money one day, build a big house, and will be compelled to sell it for a quarter of the real price. And you will have the money to buy it.
Amen.
I say amen now.
Amen.
Am I not still speaking something good? Now, what I want to say, it doesn't look nice, but it happens. One day, man will desperately need money, and he will sell a car that's worth 3 million naira to you for 1 million naira.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me just say something. It will happen.
Amen.
Actually, it's happening every day.
Yes,
now, let me put it like this. Now, so life be. I'm not wishing anybody bad. It's like a man selling casket, say he shouldn't prosper. People go die. It's whether they will buy from him that's the issue. So don't say, this man, why should he sell a casket? Is he saying people should die? People die whether you sell casket or you don't sell casket. It's whether they are buying from you that is the discussion. So if you are selling casket, you can still prosper. It doesn't mean you don't need mass disaster to prosper. You don't need it. People will die every day. That's what life be. In the same manner, some people are under God's judgment. There's nothing you can do about it. They will gather, God will determine to scatter. Pray from now to tomorrow. God said, if you like, if you pray the prayer. I wanted to scatter him in January. Because of your prayer, I'll leave it in June. If you pray more for him, I'll wait till December. If you continue praying, I'll send you on leave. So I can judge the man behind your back. But that guy, I'm judging him. That his car, the day he was buying it, I knew it was a thief. I'm going to collect it from him. Now because you're reluctant to say amen, I have dropped the price to 500,000. That is a matter of fact. Are you getting my point? That is how you live in houses you did not build. God will judge some people, and in the process, he will bless some people.
Amen.
Go and read that Psalm 75. He says he brings down one and he lifts up another. He didn't say he lifts up one and brings another. It's bring down one that is first. Some people are coming down. That is life for you. You will not be the one to come down.
Amen.
You have repented of all evil. God has forgiven you,
Amen.
So you will not be cast down.
Amen.
But some people are coming down. But let me prophesy to you, you will be lifted.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now what am I saying? So he said, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off and selling their houses cheap and cars cheap, you will see it and buy your portion of it.
Amen.
One of our brothers sent me a message that day. He was laughing in the message. You know when the man is happy. He said, what you are saying is coming to pass in my life. Oh. I said, what happened? He said, my friends are running abroad and selling their property to me. Are you getting my point? Let me pray for you. At such times, God will give you means and you'll be ready.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are people here that God said, don't worry. I know everybody is doing giddy. I must build. You don't have to. Just relax. A time will come. You will have three lined up in front of you. And you have enough money to buy all of them at the same time.
Amen.
You will buy three and dash out one.
Amen.
It will happen to somebody listening to me
Amen.
This evening. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, God allows thieves to prosper sometimes because he said the time of collecting has not yet come. The promised land, God allowed sinners to flourish. Those who were committing iniquity, their crops were growing. Let me tell you something. Listen, when the people of Israel entered the land, they didn't meet a parched land, a useless land. They met a land that was fertile. flowing with milk and with honey. When they saw the grapes, they needed to agree, is it really a grape? And one bunch of grapes, two men had to carry it. When you see one grape like this, almost the size of a man's fist. Yet, everybody in the land was a sinner, ready for a wipeout. That's what I mean when men don't repent sometimes. They invest money, it produces.
Yes.
Why would they repent? They didn't know. Look, if you're a sinner, you are prospering. Just know you are close to judgment. If you are not prospering, God is asking you for repentance. When God starts prospering you in iniquity, he has given up on you. He said, keep the land. Those who are blessed, they are coming. That was what happened to them. By the time the Israelites came, they wiped out everybody who was prospering. Sodom and Gomorrah was prospering so much that Lot ran there. Yet, you know what I see in Nigeria sometimes? If you get to Europe, everything is perfect. If you get to Europe, there is no problem. If you get to Europe, your life will be good. If you get to Europe, the roads are good. I say, you are... Oh, foolish Galatian. When you go to Lot, to Sodom, everything is perfect.
Yeah.
Everything was perfect until the day that fire and brimstone fell down. People think that the Bible says the things that are seen are not made of things that are visible. Everything was perfect until the day that fire and brimstone began to rain. There was no trouble. There was no warning. There was no bushfire. One of the most prosperous men in Sodom that time, I wasn't there, I'm just imagining, was a wicked man. He was taking everybody's land. He was married to another man. And they said, what does God mean? We know how to arrange our country, can't you see? God said, you don't know. Look, there are two kinds of things God does to such people. One, some he wipes out, some he just removes and replaces them. There are many people that are building businesses. God said, don't worry. Just keep building. I will dispossess you one day and give you to the person that's pleasing in my sight. That is a matter of fact. Let me read the word of God to you again. You will live in houses you did not build.
Amen.
Before I finish reading, I want to notice something. For those who qualify, is verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. That's what it says. Two things. One, wait. And two, keep his way. Those are the requirements. This is what I was saying, verse 35. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Is that not what we're saying? Said, then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. You know what it means? If you look at it deeper, his children were not even there to inherit. That's what they were saying. He said, but mark the blameless man and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have a posterity. Can you see what he's saying there? He said, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble.
Amen.
Let's read verse 40 together, everybody. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Please begin to give the Lord thanks because he delivers you. Now utter those words the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, you are my salvation. He says, the Lord is the salvation of the righteous. Say, Lord, you are my salvation. He says, he's their strength in time of trouble. Say, Lord, in time of trouble, you are my strength. In the time of lack, you are my strength. In the time of affliction, you are my strength. No matter what's going on outside, you are my strength. Say it, Europe is not my strength. No country is my strength. A job is not my strength. Connection is not my strength. The knowledge I have is not my strength. The money I have is not my strength. Say to the Lord, you are my strength in the time of trouble. My savings will not deliver me. My savings will not deliver me. Do not deliver my children. You are my strength. You are my strength in the time of trouble. You are the one that helps me. He says in verse 40, the Lord helps them and delivers them. Lord, you are my deliverer. I am delivered. Declare it, I am delivered. You are my deliverer. Lord, I am delivered. I am helped. I am not without help. I am helped. Because the Lord is my deliverer. He delivers me because I take refuge in him. Declare that, declare that, declare it. It's very important. That is prayer. That is prayer. Prayer is not something we think of. Prayer is what he has thought of. Prayer is not what we think of. Prayer is the thing that he has thought of. He has said he will be your deliverer. That is prayer. That is prayer. Just give the Lord thanks again. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Congratulate somebody on your left and your right as you take your seat. Tell the person you are delivered of the Lord. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your helper. Tell somebody the Lord is your helper. You are not alone. The Lord is with you. He is helping you. Yes, he's helping you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's just take a few more minutes. Just share a few things and then we close. Let's go home and go and continue praying. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. There's something I've been saying for some time. Let me just add to it, and which is the reason why these days I take the book of Psalms. It's a very good one. It's, in Israel, that was their prayer book. I've said this again and again. Let's go over it again. Faith is the basis upon which you receive from the Lord. We have been saying that again and again. So it's important for us to know how to have strong faith. How do we have strong faith? The only way we can have faith that is strong is for us to understand that that faith comes out of God. So we have to be where we can receive it. And what I've been trying to explain by that is this. There is no desire, there is no prayer we want to pray that we can hold on in faith if we don't have a foundation of the Word of God. Faith and prayer must be ignited by God's Word. It's not just what I desire. And that's the mistake we make a lot of times. We think we focus on desire. So anything you desire. So just want to desire anything. Don't ever forget it. God gives checks and balances. All right. For example, he tells them, forget the word covet for a moment. Let's look at the simple word. He tells them you cannot desire something that belongs to your neighbor. Now, it becomes covet when it belongs to somebody else. If it doesn't belong to anybody, it is desire. But it's covet when it belongs to somebody and you are scheming to get it. What I'm going to say is that it's not just anything you desire. Desire is controlled. Desire is limited. It has limits. God gives limits to what we call desire. And now, so, when he tells the people of Israel, you are going into a land, now he tells them, if you get the land of the Edomites, don't even want it. I will not give it to you. It belongs to your brother Esau, his descendants. You get to the land of the Ammonites, don't want it. These are descendants of Lot. You get to Mount Seir, don't want their land. Okay, but you get into the promised land. There you find the Hittites, you will find the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites. You find all of those people. Then you can desire their land. You can go out and go and get it. Why is that one not covetousness? But it belongs to somebody, does it not? But that one is not covetousness because God said, I have given it to you. Why? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So it's only the one I have given to somebody else you cannot collect. This one I have given to you. So prayer, therefore, is what God says, I have given to you. That is what you start claiming. That's what I mean. It's what he has given. So faith cannot be strong unless we see from scriptures what he has given. Faith cannot be strong unless you see demonstrated from scriptures what he has given. I can't say this enough, even though I appear as if I'm repeating myself again and again. That's why when you want to make requests, try and limit it, okay? Try and make sure it's just what God says he has given. For example, he has never promised you $1 million. He has never promised that. But he has promised, this is what you find in the word, that I will supply all your needs. Are you getting my point? So even though you perceive that the needs is equivalent to $1 million today, don't worry about $1 million. Just take the scripture that says he has supplied all your needs. Because sometimes it's not $1 million you need 5. You just don't realize it. Sometimes you don't even need it at all. You need nothing. It's a misconstrued, need. If you look closer, you'll have realized that you needed nothing. Okay? Many times, there are people who are praying, God, give me a car, give me. God say, I won't give you. Why? You don't need it. It won't do you good. It will just sap the little money you have now for maintenance. So, Lord, what should I do? He said, make all the keke drivers in town your personal driver. At the end of the day, you want to go out, stay on the road, and call one of them. And they will deliver you to where you are going safely. And I will be with you. I will protect thee. I will be thy guide. No flourish shall jam both of you. Are you getting my point? And God said, a time will now come and say, no, you have gone beyond that level. Many times you reach a level that you don't even know you have reached. God will by himself carry you from that level and put you somewhere else. By himself. But what you hold on all this while to is the word that says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. You say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You hold on to that word. Those that seek the Lord will not lack anything good. You hold on to that word. If any physical need appears like it wants to attach to you, itself to you, just mention it to the Lord in prayer and then leave it there with thanksgiving. Lord, what are you thanking God for? Not that that need itself is met, but that his word is true and he is faithful. That is when we now say in English language, every disappointment is a blessing. It happens sometimes. The thing you thought you needed, you don't get it. For that reason, you look in the other direction and finally see what God kept there for you. That is why I'm just digress more. Don't ever pray that a particular woman will marry you. I don't know why I'm saying it. One or two people here, they have that prayer point. They've been hiring Sister Angela. And they have been claiming her in Jesus' name. You can't do that. Why are they laughing? It's not true. Say, but Pastor, I like her. I didn't say you don't. Did I say so? I didn't say you don't like her. I just said that you can't ask God for her. You can't. You can just, like you have told me now, that you like her. You can also tell the Lord. The way you want to claim, that's sometimes, that's why, you know, faith will not falter if it is on a solid foundation. It's when the foundation is wrong that the faith starts faltering, you know, going to the left, going to the right. You like Sister Angela? Yes, mention it to the Lord. Then when you want to claim by faith, you claim simply. You said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Therefore, I will make him a help that is suited, fitted, proper for him. I ask you for that, and I claim it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I'm just telling you I like Sister Angela, by the way. You just said that one in passing. You know, he didn't attach faith to that one. It's for his information. And you know what I found out? 70% of the times, you know, it doesn't agree. 70% of the time, you go and propose to Sister Angela, and she will say, no. Don't pray about it. What did I say? These men don't like this that I'm saying today. Am I hitting some bad areas? You can cry over it. I didn't say don't cry. Okay. Cry over it. What did I say? Cry over it. But don't pray about it. Tonga said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as I begin to talk to her, she'll be changing her mind. In Jesus' name, she will change her mind. No. That prayer is not of faith. For that reason, it cannot work. And I don't need to tell you the other side of it. What I mean by, do I need to tell you that if you're a woman to don't believe God for that brother, he will propose to me? I don't need to say that. Do I need to say it? Okay, I should just say it. All right. I've said it now already. The Lord is good. Now what am I going to say? I'm just trying to emphasize it again. So that is how faith comes. Faith comes only when prayer is based upon the word of God. I was saying something about the book of Psalms. You know, when you read through it, there's something I've taught here before, that when you see requests made in the book of Psalms, these are actually the prayers of the Lord Jesus. They call them Messianic Psalms. When you see a lot of requests being made, when he said, let me not be ashamed, don't let my enemies triumph over me. That's Jesus praying to the Father. The Bible says in the days of his flesh, he cried to the one that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. Now what I want to bring out is that these prayers are there, okay? And the Lord God has answered them already. Are you following what I'm saying here? He has answered them already. And the Bible says, now, that answer is part of the package that is called Christ. That is part of the package that is called Christ. The fact that God has answered these prayers. If you find any prayer inside the book of Psalms like that, God has actually answered it for Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? And he has bundled it and given it to you. I don't have time to explain that in details, but that is a matter of fact. So if you see anything that is prayed about there, a request that is made, you can just simply claim it. Why? Because Jesus has prayed that prayer. And actually, we'll talk about it again on Saturday when we're teaching. It's still, those prayers are rising up again before the Father from his mouth on your behalf. And God answers him every time. So if you see any prayer that is inside there, what you are doing actually is that you are claiming what the Lord Jesus has spoken on your behalf. The prayer is not a new warfare now that we are trying to fight. No, it is Jesus has gone a particular way and we are just walking in his steps. That is why there is no need to cook up any new words in prayer. There's no need. Just take your Bible, read through it. If you find anything that addresses a particular situation, that's your prayer. Do you get what I'm saying here? Let's get practical a bit. I'm broke. I don't have money. I've not eaten well for the last 1 week. Instead of start praying, in fact, Jesus said, look, don't come to God and say, Lord, I need bread. I need bread. Just carry Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is a prayer. It has been answered. I said something last time. I need to repeat it again. The fact that you are not experiencing something now that is promised in the word of God does not mean it's not promised.